Welcome to our deep dive. We're going to be looking at the world of Bible translation today.
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to dig into this lecture that you sent me by Dr. George Payton,
Yes.
a leading voice in the field.
The giant in the field.
Yeah, and we're going to really go behind the scenes to uncover all the key roles involved in bringing the Bible to people in languages that have never had it before.
Right.
So I've got a feeling this is going to be pretty eye-opening for folks.
It is. One of the things that really stood out to me in Dr. Payton's lecture is this idea that Bible translation is not a solo mission, like
Right.
so many people think. It's really like a symphony of individuals
Oh, I love that.
with specialized skills working in concert.
A symphony. That's a great analogy. Okay, so who are these virtuosos that make up this orchestra of Bible translation?
Well, Dr. Payton highlights three key roles. Translators who are typically native speakers of the target language, advisors who provide training and support, and consultants who ensure the accuracy and quality of the translation.
Wow, so we've got translators, advisors, and consultants.
Three key players.
Three key players. And each one demands such unique skills. It's interesting that Dr. Payton really dove deep into the advisor role.
He did. He stresses that advisors, sometimes called facilitators, are absolutely pivotal in equipping translators to effectively convey the meaning of scripture. It's a role that calls for a really unique blend of linguistic knowledge, cultural sensitivity, and the ability to train adults effectively.
Whole other skill set right there. Like, I'm thinking about, I've tried to teach my kids, how to do certain things, and that's a whole other challenge.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Adults even more so, I would think.
Absolutely.
And then to think about, like you said, the linguistic knowledge, the cultural sensitivity, it makes you realize how much more goes into it than just knowing the languages involved.
Absolutely.
Dr. Payton, he shares that anecdote about a European advisor learning local grammar, not through textbooks, but through repeated exposure to the translated text.
That story really struck me too. Just imagine that absorbing grammatical nuances just through immersing yourself in the text. This advisor, probably picked up on verb tenses, word order, how ideas are structured. All these things are so crucial to making sure you have a faithful and natural sounding translation.
That's amazing. Like, I never would have thought of that. But it makes perfect sense when you explain it that way. That speaks to the level of dedication and immersion that's required for this kind of work. And it also makes me think about what Dr. Payton calls cultural competence, which he emphasizes goes beyond simply being aware of cultural
He
differences.
does. And he gives a really good illustration about American students in Germany who disregard pedestrian safety rules despite knowing them. They were aware of the rules, but they hadn't internalized them. They hadn't developed that cultural competence to actually respect and follow them.
It's like I was thinking, it's one thing to know like the ingredients of a dish, but it's another to know how to actually like blend those ingredients to create something delicious and authentic. You can't just swap out ingredients without understanding how they interact.
And you can't just translate words without understanding the culture they're embedded in. So applying that to Bible translation, it's clear why cultural competence is so vital. It's about understanding the nuances of a culture, the values, the
The
worldview.
way they see the world.
So that the meaning of scripture can be accurately conveyed in a way that actually resonates with the people.
I mean, that makes perfect sense, but I don't think people realize how much goes into that.
It's deep work.
Deep work. Dr. Payton also kind of dives into this, the intricacies of the advisor's role. And he even questions whether an advisor should also take on supervisory responsibilities,
That's interesting.
which seems to me like it could blur the lines a little bit.
Yeah, it does. And Dr. Payton acknowledges both the benefits and drawbacks. But he points out this is really sensitive in cultures where hierarchy is deeply ingrained. So you can imagine, an advisor who's meant to be a supportive guide also holding the power to approve or reject a translator's work.
Yeah, that could really create some problems,
It could.
like an imbalance of power
For sure.
and hinder that open communication.
Absolutely. Dr. Payton emphasizes the importance of empowering local communities to own that translation process. And that empowerment extends to how the team functions, too, making sure that everyone feels valued and heard.
One thing that really surprised me, though, was Dr. Payton's strong stance on the need for specialized training programs for advisors. He seems to advocate for moving away from that learn-as-you-go approach.
which, let's be honest, has been the norm for a long time.
It has been. He even points out that Dalhousie International University is unique in offering a dedicated degree program.
Oh, wow. Specifically for translation advisors, which suggests that this formal training is not as widespread as one might think.
I mean, it makes you wonder why that gap exists.
Right.
Think about any complex skill that you've ever learned.
Yeah.
Having expert guidance makes a world of difference.
Absolutely. Whether it's learning to play an instrument, mastering a sport,
right,
becoming proficient in a new language.
Right.
Good instruction just accelerates the learning process and ensures that you develop the right skills and techniques.
So it just stands to reason, then, that equipping Bible translation advisors with this kind of robust training would lead to more effective and more fruitful translation projects.
Precisely. And it highlights the fact that Bible translation advising isn't just about knowing the languages and cultures.
Right.
It's about mastering the art of training, mentoring, and facilitating a complex collaborative process.
Yeah. Now, Dr. Payton distinguishes between the roles of consultants and advisors.
Yes.
Which I have to admit, I often got mixed up before.
Yeah, it's easy to do.
So can you help unpack those a little bit?
Sure. While both consultants and advisors play vital mentorship roles, their focus and interaction with the translation team differ. Consultants primarily concentrate on the translation's accuracy and fidelity to the original text. Imagine them as expert text detectives.
I love that.
Meticulously examining every word and phrase to ensure the translation is faithful to the original meaning.
Ah, so they're not just looking for, like, you know, errors in the translation.
Right.
They're really diving deep into the nuances of meaning and making sure that that translation captures the true essence, of the original text.
Yeah, they might look at the use of idioms, cultural metaphors, even theological concepts that might not have a direct equivalent in the target language.
Wow.
So their feedback helps the translators make really informed decisions
about
how best to convey those subtle but really important shades of meaning.
So it's really about, you know, preserving the heart of the message.
Absolutely.
In a way that's still faithful to the original text.
Exactly.
So the consultant kind of, you know, visits periodically, provides that focused expertise on the text itself, whereas the advisor's there throughout the process.
Right.
Working closely with the translators, providing that ongoing support and training.
Absolutely. And Dr. Payton really stresses that the entire translation team, translators, advisors, and consultants, they operate as a cohesive unit.
Okay.
Like a microcosm of the global church, in a sense.
Oh, that's beautiful.
United by their common goal of making the Bible accessible.
It really is a beautiful picture of collaboration and the power of diverse perspectives coming together to achieve something really meaningful.
It does. It reminds us that the work of Bible translation isn't just about linguistics.
Yeah.
It's about people, about relationships, about bridging cultures and building bridges of understanding.
This has been so fascinating. And I'm already, like, thinking about, you know, the impact of this collaborative effort.
Right.
You know, the ripple effect that it has when a community finally receives the Bible in their own language.
Yeah.
But maybe that's a conversation for another time.
Yeah, that's a whole other deep dive waiting to happen. We can explore the transformative impact of Bible translation in more detail in our next segment.
Yeah, let's save that for next time.
Sounds good. Welcome back to our deep dive into the world of Bible translation.
Yeah, it's amazing to think that what we've been discussing, you know, it's happening all around the world right now.
Yeah.
Like, teams of dedicated individuals working tirelessly to make the Bible accessible to everyone.
It really is inspiring. And as we've seen, it's such a complex process involving, you know, these specialized skills and a deep understanding of both language and culture.
Oh, absolutely. Speaking of skills, Dr. Payton actually goes into detail about, you know, the different educational paths one might take to become involved in this field.
Yeah.
He mentions descriptive linguistics, applied linguistics, and even a dedicated program for translation advisors.
Right. He breaks down these different approaches to studying language.
Okay.
So descriptive linguistics, as the name implies, is about describing the structure of a language.
Okay.
Its sounds, its grammar, its vocabulary,
without
making judgments about, you know, what's right or wrong. It's like creating a detailed map of a language.
Okay, so that's descriptive linguistics. And how does that compare to applied linguistics?
Well, applied linguistics takes that linguistic knowledge and puts it to use in real-world situations, like language teaching, speech therapy, and, of course, Bible translation.
Ah, so it's like the bridge between the theory and the practice.
Exactly.
So someone interested in becoming a Bible translation advisor could choose a program that really focuses on that practical application of linguistics translation process.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, and Dr. Payton emphasizes that, you know, theoretical knowledge is only part of the equation.
Right.
He talks about the importance of understanding the local worldview, particularly when you're dealing with concepts that might be perceived differently across cultures.
Right.
He specifically mentions the unseen world, something central to, you know, many religious traditions.
Right, because the way different cultures perceive the spiritual realm, or even the concept of a deity, can vary so widely.
Absolutely.
That to translate those concepts accurately, you really have to be sensitive to those cultural nuances.
You do. Yeah. And Dr. Payton points out that advisors often work with national translators who may come from diverse backgrounds and may not have formal training in translation.
So it's almost like a, you know, a master craftsman passing on their skills to apprentices, helping them hone their craft and develop their own expertise.
That's a great analogy. And it highlights the advisor's role as both a mentor and a guide, empowering local communities to take ownership of the translation process.
Yeah, Dr. Payton doesn't shy away from the challenges either.
No, he doesn't.
He mentions, you know, the need for good computer skills.
Right.
Potential for burnout.
Yeah. The importance of adapting to different cultural norms.
It's a demanding job.
It's clearly not a job for the faint of heart.
You're telling me.
But even with all of those challenges.
Right.
He still conveys that profound sense of purpose and fulfillment.
Oh, yeah.
That comes from this work.
Absolutely.
It's so clear that he's deeply passionate about empowering people to access the Bible in their own language.
Yes.
He sees it as more than just a job.
Right.
It's a calling.
Yeah.
It's a vital part of God's mission in the world.
Absolutely. And that passion is contagious.
It is.
It makes me think about our listeners and how they might be feeling inspired to explore their own potential roles in this.
You read my mind because we've been diving deep, you know, into the complexities and the nuances of Bible translation.
Yes.
But I'm sure some of our listeners are wondering, how can I get involved?
That's a great question. And luckily, there are many avenues to explore, depending on one's interests, skills, and availability. So let's say someone is truly captivated by this world and they want to make a career out of it.
Okay.
What would you suggest?
Well, Dr. Payton mentioned Dallas International University as having a specialized degree program for translation advisors.
Okay.
That's certainly one option for those seeking formal training and credentials.
Right. So for someone looking to become like a professional Bible translation advisor, that's a great place to start.
Absolutely. But there are other options as well.
Okay.
The Graduate Institute of Applied Linguistics, or GAL,
offers
programs in Bible translation and related fields.
Okay.
And numerous universities and seminaries worldwide have excellent programs in linguistics and translation studies. Mm-hmm. It really just depends on, you know, what specific area someone wants to focus on.
So it sounds like there's a program out there for everyone.
Yeah.
From those who want to like dive deep into the technical aspects of translation.
Yeah.
To those who are more interested in the cultural and linguistic considerations.
Absolutely. But what about those who aren't necessarily looking for a career change?
Yeah. But still feel drawn to contribute.
Right.
There are still plenty of ways to get involved.
Like volunteering.
Exactly. Ooh. Many Bible translation organizations offer a wide range of volunteer opportunities.
Okay.
Both in the field and remotely.
So someone with strong language skills could help with proofreading or editing translated texts.
Precisely. And someone with administrative skills could assist with project management or communication.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's always a need for individuals with fundraising and development expertise.
So it sounds like there's truly a role for everyone, no matter their skill set or background.
That's the beauty of it. It's a collaborative effort, and every contribution, big or small, is valuable.
Now, for those of us who might be daydreaming about becoming a Bible translation advisor, what qualities would you say are essential for thriving in this role?
Well, Dr. Payton touched on several key attributes throughout his lecture. First and foremost, I'd say a deep love for the Bible and a passion for sharing its message with others. It's not just about knowing the stories.
Right.
It's about understanding the text's depth.
Yeah.
The nuances of its meaning and its power to transform lives.
Exactly. And alongside that love for the Bible, I think you need a genuine curiosity about languages and cultures.
It's about embracing that beauty and complexity
yeah.
of human communication
yeah.
and recognizing that language is a window into the soul of a people.
Beautifully put. Mm. And speaking of people, strong interpersonal skills are crucial.
Yeah.
The advisor is a mentor, a facilitator, a coach.
Right.
Someone who can build relationships, communicate effectively, and work collaboratively within a diverse team.
And remember, they're often working alongside national translators.
Yes.
Who might come from very different backgrounds and have different ways of learning and working.
Absolutely.
So adaptability and sensitivity to those differences is key.
It is. And finally, I think a good Bible translation advisor needs a healthy dose of humility and patience.
Humility and patience.
This work can be challenging, demanding, and at times frustrating.
Yeah, there will be setbacks, misunderstandings.
For sure.
And moments where you feel completely out of your depth.
Absolutely. But those are the moments that test your resilience.
Yeah.
And reveal your true character.
It's about being willing to admit when you don't know something.
Yeah.
To learn from your mistakes and to persevere even when the going gets tough.
And to remember that the ultimate goal is to serve others.
Yeah.
To make the Bible accessible to those who have been longing to hear it in their own language.
It's a privilege, not a platform for personal gain.
Well said. And I think Dr. Payton's emphasis on specialized training is particularly relevant here.
Okay.
He argues that moving away from the learn-as-you-go approach can equip advisors to be more effective from the start.
Okay.
Minimizing potential setbacks and maximizing their impact.
It makes sense. Just like any profession,
yeah.
proper training
mm-hmm.
equips individuals
yeah.
with the knowledge, the skills, and the confidence to navigate the complexities of their role.
Absolutely.
In the case of Bible translation, where the stakes are so high,
right.
investing in that training is crucial.
We're talking about making the Word of God accessible to people who've never had the opportunity to read it in their heart language.
Yeah.
That's a responsibility that shouldn't be taken lightly.
Absolutely. And I think it speaks to the heart of what makes this work so compelling.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that inherent value and dignity of every language and every culture.
Yes.
And ensuring that everyone have the opportunity to experience the transformative power of God's word.
Right.
In a way that speaks directly to their hearts.
You know, it strikes me that we've talked extensively about the roles, the skills, the training, the challenges, the personal qualities involved in Bible translation.
Yeah.
But we haven't delved into the impact of this work on the communities it serves.
Right.
What happens when a people group finally receives the Bible in their own language?
That's a great question. And one we'll be exploring in our next segment.
Yes.
We'll delve into some inspiring stories of transformation and hope.
Yeah.
That demonstrate the profound ripple effect of Bible translation.
Stay tuned, because things are about to get truly inspiring.
Welcome back to our deep dive into the world of Bible translation. We've been on this journey exploring the ins and outs of this really incredible endeavor.
It is.
From the roles involved to the personal qualities that make a great advisor.
Right.
Now it's time to tackle the big question. The so what of it all.
Yeah.
Why does Bible translation matter?
That's the question.
What difference does it make when a community finally receives the Bible in their own language?
Such a great question.
We've established, you know, that it's complex.
Yeah.
It's collaborative.
Right.
It requires incredible dedication.
It does.
But what is the impact on the ground?
Well, imagine for a moment that you could only access your most treasured stories.
Okay.
You know, your deepest beliefs.
Right.
Through a language that wasn't truly your own.
Yeah.
You might grasp the general concepts.
Right.
But the nuances, the emotional depth would be lost.
That's a profound thought. It's like, you know, trying to appreciate a poem in a language you don't understand.
Yeah.
You might get the gist of it, but the beauty, the rhythm, the emotional impact
yeah,
would be missing.
Totally. And that's the reality for many communities around the world.
Yeah.
They might have access to the Bible,
yeah.
but often only through translations that lack the cultural sensitivity
yeah.
and the linguistic precision to truly convey the heart of the message.
So receiving the Bible in their own language is about more than just understanding the words.
It is.
It's about experiencing the message in a way that resonates on a deeper level.
Yeah.
Connecting with their heart and soul.
Absolutely. And that can be a catalyst for profound change.
Wow.
I mean, there are countless stories of communities experiencing spiritual renewal, social transformation, even economic development.
Wow.
After receiving the Bible in their own language.
I'm always captivated by those real life stories that demonstrate the power of this work.
Yeah.
Do you have any specific examples that come to mind?
One that stands out is the story of the Wycliffe Bible Translators' work
Okay.
Among the Kaluli people of Papua New Guinea.
Okay.
For years, the Kaluli struggled to grasp the concept of forgiveness as presented in the Bible.
I imagine cultural differences played a role in that struggle.
Huge role. In Kaluli culture, the traditional way to address wrongdoing was through payback, through revenge.
Right. An eye for an eye.
Yeah. Forgiveness, as presented in the Bible, simply didn't fit within their cultural framework.
So how did the translators bridge that gap?
Well, they realized they needed to find a way to express the concept of forgiveness.
Okay.
Using terms and concepts that resonated with the Kaluli worldview. So they immersed themselves in the culture, learning about their customs, their values, their way of thinking.
It's about finding those points of intersection, those shared human experiences that transcend those cultural boundaries.
Absolutely. And when the Bible was finally translated into the Kaluli language, using terms and imagery that made sense to them, something remarkable happened. They finally understood the radical message of forgiveness and reconciliation.
Wow.
That lies at the heart of the Christian faith.
And that understanding led to tangible changes within the community.
It did. The Kaluli began to practice forgiveness in their own relationships, resolving long-standing feuds, embracing a new way of relating to one another. It was a powerful testament to the transformative power of the Bible when it's made accessible in a way that truly speaks to people's hearts.
It's inspiring to hear how something as seemingly simple as a translation can have such a profound impact on a community, fostering reconciliation and healing.
It highlights that the work of Bible translation is about so much more than just words on a page.
Yeah.
It's about empowering individuals and communities.
Right.
Opening up new possibilities and fostering hope and understanding.
It makes you realize the work is far from over.
It's not.
There's still many language groups around the world waiting to experience the Bible in their heart language.
That's right. There are still millions of people who haven't had the opportunity to engage with the Bible in a way that truly resonates with their cultural background and lived experience.
It makes me want to get involved somehow to contribute to this endeavor. But for those of us who aren't, you know, linguists or translators, what can we do to support this vital work?
That's a great question. While not everyone is called to be on the front lines of translation, there are many ways to make a difference.
Okay.
Prayer is essential.
Okay.
We can pray for the translators, the advisors, the consultants, and for the communities they serve.
It's about acknowledging that this is spiritual work.
Yeah.
That it requires a reliance on something beyond human effort.
Exactly. And we can support organizations like Wycliffe Bible Translators and Solaire International, who are doing incredible work around the world. Mm-hmm. Even a small donation can go a long way in providing resources and training for those involved in these projects.
And spreading the word.
Yes.
Sharing these stories of transformation.
Absolutely.
Raising awareness about the need for Bible translation.
Yeah.
Encouraging others to get involved.
Those are all valuable contributions. It's about recognizing that we're all part of a larger story.
Yeah.
A story of bringing God's word to every corner of the globe.
Yeah.
And that every act of support, no matter how small, plays a part in that grand narrative.
This deep dive has been truly eye-opening for me.
Me too.
I've gained such a newfound appreciation for the complexity, the dedication, and the profound impact of Bible translation.
Yeah, and I hope our listeners feel the same way. We've explored the intricacies of the process, the challenges involved, and the inspiring stories that result from this endeavor.
It's a powerful reminder that language is more than just a means of communication.
Right.
It's a gateway to understanding a bridge between cultures.
Yeah.
And a tool for sharing hope and truth with the world.
Absolutely. As we wrap up our deep dive, I'd like to leave our listeners with a question to ponder. What role might you play in bringing the light of God's word to those who are still waiting to hear it in their heart language?
It's a question worth reflecting on. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.